First Testament reading is from Proverbs, chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle from Hebrews, chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He said also to the man who had invited him, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What's he really talking about? You know, this morning we have an interesting sequence of readings. Our epistle reading from Hebrews that Brian read is what we would call a classic law passage. It tells us what we should do as followers of Christ. It starts by saying, let brotherly love continue. And it goes on. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are in prison. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Keep your life free from the love of money. And so on. All excellent things. Things all of us should do. Is that how we humble ourselves before God? Keep His law? That seems to make perfect sense. Years ago, a friend of mine, an accountant, was unjustly accused of making a costly error at work. It was actually a coworker who made the error. But my buddy was really upset, but wanted to obey God in his response to his boss. So he decided to follow the example of Jesus when Jesus stood before King Herod. This is what he did. Like Jesus before King Herod, this guy didn't defend himself. In fact, he kept his mouth shut and took the heat in the face of an untrue accusation. Well, soon all came to light, and my friend was exonerated by his boss, and all ended well. God honored his obedience, his desire to keep God's law. You know, we love stories like that. We like to imagine ourselves as law keepers who reap rewards from our obedience. We do the right thing, and God rewards us. But is that how it works? Are blessings from God simply God's response to our obedience? I mentioned an interesting sequence in our readings this morning. The very next reading, after all that law in our epistle lesson, is the story from Luke 14. Jesus had been invited to dine at the home of a prominent local leader of the Pharisees. There was a man there who had dropsy, a condition we now call edema. His legs were so swollen, he couldn't walk. Jesus wanted to heal him, but it was the Sabbath day. You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Read the Ten Commandments. And the Pharisees were sticklers for adhering to God's law, especially the Ten Commandments. They maintained that healing this guy on the Sabbath would be a serious violation of God's law. But Jesus went ahead right in front of them and healed the man anyway. Jesus broke the law, apparently. Why? To make a point. And the point is, we're saved by God's mercy, not by God's law. In other words, God's blessings come not from your erratic, inconsistent obedience, but rather blessings come from God's steady, unceasing, and undeserved by you, compassion and mercy toward you. That's what saves you. God's mercy, not your obedience. In fact, God's law actually condemns all of us because we don't keep it consistently. Take a look at our passage from Hebrews. It talks about love for one another, kindness toward strangers, remembering those in prison, and loving money, a real issue in our culture. All of us fall far short in every one of those areas mentioned, which just underlines the point. God's law does not save us. It's because of God's mercy that we're forgiven, reconciled, and saved by God. It has to be God's mercy, because we're incapable of keeping God's law. If you don't believe me, read Romans 3 or read Matthew 5. Even though it's hard for us to swallow, and we hate that idea, we're incapable of keeping God's law. So as Jesus sat at the table with that group of distinguished Pharisees, he was aghast at their lack of compassion for the man with the painful and swollen legs. And as guests came in and took places to sit, there was a competition for the seats closest to the host and to the guest of honor. A competition for the best seats. In that culture, the best seats denoted status. So these men were competing for status. But when it comes to status, Jesus said, "Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So, beyond your behavior at a dinner party, how do you humble yourself before God? In Luke 18 is found my favorite parable. An esteemed, well-respected, socially prominent Pharisee and a hated, for good reason, hated, corrupt tax collector both went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed first, and he prayed like this: "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, evildoers, adulterers, or this corrupt, hated tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." End of prayer. Then the hated, corrupt, slimy tax collector prayed. And he simply beat his chest in an expression of contrition and cried out, "Forgive me, God, for I am a sinner." End of prayer. And then Jesus turned to those gathered around him and uttered a completely unexpected and shocking punchline. "I tell you the truth," he said. "It's the hated, corrupt tax collector who went home justified. The hated tax collector who went home forgiven and accepted by God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And the first and most important way to humble yourself is to simply recognize who you are. And who you are is a sinner saved by the blood of Christ. That's who you are. So own it, trusting completely in God's mercy. And in being honest about who you are, you can also be completely at peace. You can be completely assured that you are loved by God and reconciled with Him. Christ, who left His glorious home in heaven for a painful, agonizing life and death on this earth, suffered for you, all of us, sinners and saints. Sinners we are by birth into this sinful world, but saints we are because you've been baptized into Christ and cling to Him by faith, faith that's been gifted to you by the Holy Spirit. So He has taken upon Himself your sin and shame and imputed to you, gifted to you, His own perfect righteousness. When God looks at you, He sees only the garments of righteousness that Christ has wrapped you in. You are forgiven and loved, reconciled to your Father in heaven. So even in the worst of times, you can be still and know that God is God. Even in the worst of times, you can be at peace. Despite your situation, you have every reason to look to the future with confidence, because you will be with Christ and all your loved ones someday in heaven. Despite your shortcomings and failures and sin, you are forgiven. He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see ourselves as we really are, to humble ourselves before you in this way, acknowledging our own sin and failures, and throwing ourselves upon your mercy and compassion and love for us. Help us to do that, and fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before you and one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.